Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And as many of you know, this is the time when Mayor de Blasio is usually a guest on this show, our weekly Ask the Mayor segment, Fridays at 10 o'clock. Well, earlier this week, the mayor's office let us know he had a conflict today and couldn't do the slot, and now we know why the mayor can't make it. It's being reported by multiple local news organizations that right now is when he's meeting with people from the U.S. Attorney's Office being interviewed about the investigation into fundraising for his 2013 election campaign and his nonprofit political issues organization, the Campaign for One New York. So we'll talk now about what's been reported as the likely areas of questioning by the U.S. Attorney's Office that's taking place right now instead of questioning by you and me. And we'll talk about the context of the investigation. Ozzie Pabura from Politico New York is going to help us with this. Hi, Ozzie. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So the Times today says that in recent weeks, the investigation has focused on a relatively new area of inquiry, whether the mayor gave special treatment by city government to a donor, a businessman named Moshe Indig, who's also a rabbi prominent in the Brooklyn Satmar community and who was on the Village Voices list of 10 worst landlords in 2010. Are you familiar with what questions they're looking into regarding Mr. Indig and the mayor?
Not the specific questions, because only apparently one person knows about those. But it looks to be related to how and why this developer donated to de Blasio, raised money for de Blasio, and helped try to get rid of possibly some of the related problems that he had that got him onto that 10 worst landlords list. Whenever there's an elected official who's requesting money, people whose business it is to build housing and develop property are always in need of assistance, either pushing paperwork through or getting approval for various projects.
And listeners, you can call up and ask Ozzie Pabura today if you want to get more clear on what these investigations into Mayor de Blasio and people around him actually are. It looks like there will be a result if he's being interviewed today, either indictments or no indictments of him or people around him in a relatively short period of time after this. And we'll talk about some of the context now, the details around why the mayor isn't here today, but instead at the U.S. Attorney's Office, according to multiple news reports. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Ozzie, another donor and fundraiser they're investigating whether the mayor gave special treatment to is Harendra Singh, the owner of Water's Edge, the restaurant and event facility in Long Island City. What are the questions surrounding the mayor and Mr. Singh?
So the questions regarding Mr. Singh relate to why the mayor appeared to get directly involved in Singh's effort to get a lease renewal for the property. Now, the city owns the property as it does in many different locations, and almost every single day there's some level of negotiations happening to either renew a lease on a property, renegotiate, get a better deal. Those kind of conversations happen all the time. Why did the mayor appear to get involved or interested in this particular one raises questions. Now, you know, for 12 years, you know, New York City was governed by one of its richest residents, Michael Bloomberg, who never had to take money or interact with donors in the way that most other people traditionally have had to. You know, Bill de Blasio is in the position of needing to raise money for either his campaign, his reelection, or for an advocacy group that he created. So whenever a person's giving money, the question becomes, did the mayor or his aides act differently towards those donors that showed favoritism, perhaps because of that, of those donations?
And this could be asked of so many politicians about
yes,
so many donations. How much can you describe, how much is known about what Mayor de Blasio may have done with respect to getting city policy or city actions to treat Mr. Singh or Mr. Indig favorably that put these particular two interactions on the U.S. Attorney's radar screen? Because let's face it, we know that people are making donations to politicians and then getting favored treatment from government all up and down government.
Right. And it's fair to say that not every donor who gets business from, you know, a city or a state that they sort of donate towards, not every one of those interactions is suspect. You know, if you give a $100 donation and 3 years later you get a $1 million contract, you know, your interest could align with the person you're supporting. So not every interaction is suspect. But with Mr. Singh, you know, the Times quotes an email where the subject line is, "Heads up, you know, regarding Mr. Singh." It says the mayor would like to meet with him ASAP since it's a sensitive issue that Mr. Singh has. So, the idea that someone in City Hall was letting somebody else know that this is on the mayor's radar, that he's interested in it, you know, seems to raise a question. Now, my colleagues at Politico New York, Laura Namias and Sally Goldenberg, have done reporting on this also, as have the Daily News and other outlets. And one of the you know, donors to a de Blasio cause that has caught attention is a guy who, you know, created some kind of garbage bag that he thought would, you know, repel rodents, you know, because it was scented with mint or something like that. And this guy had been trying for many years to get the city to buy these garbage bags. And after he donates to de Blasio, the city, you know, gives him a small contract for these garbage bags. Was that improper, or was that just, you know, the gray area that a lot of government operates in? You know, that's something that the prosecutors are sort of, I believe, are looking at and questioning the mayor about.
I read that the interview with the U.S. Attorney's Office today is expected to last about 4 hours. What would take 4 hours? Do you have a sense of it?
I think the thing that would take the longest is just really getting into the details. You know, a lot of times when de Blasio has been asked questions from reporters, at least, there's generalities. There's a lot of things we don't know. Obviously, we don't have the same kind of access to emails and meeting descriptions as a prosecutor would have because they have subpoena power and things of that nature. I think what would take 4 hours to answer is, you know, laying out the specifics. You know, why was this email sent on this particular day? Why did these donations come in on this particular day? And asking things like, you know, what exactly did your fundraiser say, and who did you call to seek donations? I think what takes a long period of time is outlining the specifics and getting specific answers. If you want to talk in generalities, you can have a conversation in 15 minutes.
The mayor was already interviewed by the Manhattan DA. That's a separate investigation. Can you remind people of the difference between the two?
Oh, you know, it's a little bit difficult to separate out the investigations. As best as I can recall, I believe one is related to donations given to a nonprofit advocacy organization, the Committee for One New York, and whether or not people there got special favors from the mayor. And there's another one related to a nursing home in Manhattan that was protected from redevelopment, how that sort of protection got lifted and that property is now going to be developed for high-end condominium development. And there's questions as to why that went through, who was involved in it, and things of that nature. But largely, all of these revolve around the question of who gave money, when and why, and what did they get in return.
And I think the state investigation might also involve money given to counties, Democratic committees upstate, and whether those were kind of fake donations to the county committees when they were really intended to help particular Democratic state Senate candidates in excess of the amount of a donation that the law would allow directly to them.
Right.
And whether the mayor had a role in soliciting donations to skirt the law in that way.
Right. And with that particular line of inquiry, what may be the most damaging is what actually turned out to be legal. You are apparently allowed to give an unlimited amount of money to a housekeeping committee for a county organization, whereas you can't give, unlimited amounts of money to particular candidates. So one thing that people do is they say, give the money to a county organization and have the county organization give to candidates. And it's seen as like a very big gaping hole. But if it's legal and you use it, you may be accused of doing something unseemly, and you may lose, points with good government groups. But there's nothing wrong with it. So the question becomes, did de Blasio tell donors, donate to candidate A using this back door? Or did he say, donate, to this committee and have the committee decide? And I think even one donor, John Katsimatidis, I believe, has said things like, oh, I got a thank you call from a candidate. I didn't know I donated to him.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, yes, this is the time when Mayor de Blasio is usually here for our weekly Ask the Mayor segment, Fridays at 10 o'clock. But his office let us know that he had a conflict today, and it's being reported by multiple news organizations that the conflict is that right now is when he's been called to meet with people from the U.S. Attorney's Office to be interviewed about the investigation into fundraising for his 2013 election campaign and his nonprofit political issues organization, the Campaign for One New York. So we're talking about what might be taking place at the U.S. Attorney's Office right now and backgrounding you on what the issues are in this investigation, for those of you who didn't already know, with Ozzie Pabura from Politico New York. Ozzie, would it be Preet Bharara himself asking the mayor questions today?
I don't think so. U.S. attorneys and district attorneys, the people that we see at the news conferences, are usually the ones who are directing the attorneys that do these kind of questionings, and they themselves are not usually involved. I would be surprised if Preet Bharara himself was sitting opposite of the mayor. But then again, there's been so many surprises. You almost can't rule anything out. But I would put my money on Preet being probably in the next room watching it very closely.
By the way, is somebody singing the Star Spangled Banner behind you, Ozzie?
Why, yes, there is. Why wouldn't there be? I'm actually at police headquarters where they're having a promotion ceremony. It's something that happens to you kind of regularly. It's a very big police department.
I figured it was either a police department ceremony or the first spring training baseball game. So I gather the mayor is testifying without immunity from prosecution. Is that unusual?
No, I don't believe it's unusual in this circumstance. You get that if you are speaking to grand juries and the grand juries are in need of information in a way that that would usually preclude people from giving it had it not been for that kind of protection. I think here the mayor has said he didn't ask and he didn't seek and he wasn't offered any kind of immunity. I think what's happening here is, both sides sort of feeling each other out. What's sort of funny about this meeting is that de Blasio's office is literally across the street from Preet Bharara's office, yet they're meeting somewhere in Midtown, apparently in a more casual, leisurely setting rather than, bring them downtown. But I think what's going to be happening, absent some kind of immunity agreement, which I don't think was on the table or offered, is you're going to get a sense really from both sides what the other person knows, and that's why these kind of meetings take so long. De Blasio is going to have his lawyers and his aides, and the U.S. Attorney's Office are really going to start asking the kind of questions that haven't been answered publicly. And the people who are in that room are really going to get a much better sense as to what does the other person know? What does the other person think happens? And when they leave, they're going to have a much better sense as to whether or not this storyline is going to continue or if there's going to be some kind of, culmination with this thing wrapping up.
Some reporting has indicated the mayor is not the target of the investigation as much as people around him. What do you know about that?
Well, so the mayor has had a fundraiser, I believe his name is Ross Offinger, who's been the point of contact for donors. Usually an elected official comes in and says, if you here's my policy, here's why I think you should support me and support my allies. And literally, Ross is the person who comes in and says, all right, guys, here's where you write the check and here's where you send it to. So a person like Ross might, you know, would be one of the people that an investigator would look at if there was any kind of impropriety. Another person who apparently was looked at is Emma Wolf, a very smart, skilled aide to the mayor who knows a lot of these upstate districts and counties, having previously worked in the state Senate. You know, she's also someone that would be looked at as someone who would be coordinating the effort to say, hey, here's a district we can win. Here's someone who possibly could be defeated. Here's where we should like look at. So the mayor, I think, is, you know, he's the person who gets the most attention, but it's really his aides that do the day-to-day work of directing the behaviors that I think the investigators are looking at.
And this interview is the end of a process, apparently, for which a grand jury has already been doing weeks of work. Can you explain the scope or length of that a little bit?
So it's not entirely clear when specifically Preet Bharara's office and the Manhattan District Attorney's office, you know, started looking, but they seem to be going all the way back to 2014 when de Blasio, you know, coming right in after his surprise victory in the mayor's race, you know, and flexing his political muscle, said, in order to get New York City's agenda, we really have to have more Democrats and more friendly faces in Albany. And the way you do that is by winning more state Senate seats for the Democrats. And it backfired. It didn't work. But what he had done was, you know, send money up there. And I think it's around that time that people started looking at this. And he had also created, you know, the Committee for One New York, a nonprofit advocacy group, which was able to take a lot of money in, not report it in as quickly a manner as you would do if they were donating to his campaign. So it was those kind of behaviors that immediately drew reporters' attentions, you know, his critics, you know, were talking about it. But it's not exactly clear when specifically, you know, prosecutors and investigators formally took steps to look at this, but it seems to have been going on for quite some time.
And what happens after today, and how quickly should we know whether there are indictments of the mayor or anyone around him or not?
Well, as we saw, you know, in the presidential race with FBI Director Comey, you know, just because somebody says an investigation's over doesn't mean it's actually over. You know, there always could be a surprise. But what may happen is the mayor, who's going to be going out of town immediately after the meeting to attend the DNC meeting down in Atlanta, Georgia, the mayor's aides may start saying on the record more definitively, you know, how confident they are about things wrapping up. The mayor himself, whenever he takes questions next, he may start being able to answer with more certainty, you know, about what he heard in that meeting. You know, can he say perhaps with some certainty that they didn't ask any questions about my own behavior, they asked about my aides? That might be something that he's able to say. But it's not clear when exactly an investigator would, you know, say, oh, we looked at this, we didn't find anything, everyone have a good night. It's not clear when exactly those kind of remarks come, if ever.
James in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, James.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
Yeah, I work in a highly regulated industry that requires sort of really extensive scrutiny around donations to public campaigns, especially in jurisdictions where I don't vote. My question, there are efforts being made to increase these standards in New York City.
Your question is whether, sorry, you broke up for a second there. Your question is whether efforts are being made to increase the standards in New York City for only people from New York being able to donate to New York candidates? Is that your question?
No, it's more along those that are in line to receive contracts from the city.
Ah,
it's more right. About that sort of ultimate conflict of interest, which exists whether or not, you know, the timing is kind of irrelevant. Uh-huh. Ultimately, there is some conflict of interest.
Right. So it goes to the question, Ozzy, that we started with earlier of where the line is between an ordinary political donation that's legal, even
right.
though the donor may want something from government, and one
right.
that somehow is part of a quid pro quo that becomes illegal.
Right. So New York City is much more regulated than New York State. that should come as no surprise to anyone that's had or interact with government. Usually, the New York City Campaign Finance Board and lawmakers, they try to iron out whatever donation issues come up, not in an election year, but usually in the year after or the year before, you know, the 4-year cycle, just because you don't want to sort of change the rules so late in the game. Now, the New York City Campaign Finance Board has limited the amount of money somebody could give if they or I think their spouse, you know, are registered lobbyists or have current pending work in front of the city. And I believe there's a limit of about $175, something close to that order. Whereas in New York State, you could donate, you know, several thousand dollars before you even come close to what could be even considered the first of a very porous kind of donation limits. So New York City has those regulations. I'm not aware of any newer one sort of in the works, but if you compare what you used to be able to do in New York, you know, when Rudy Giuliani was first running for mayor to now, there's been a dramatic sea change and much more clamping down of donations.
Jeff in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Ozzie Pabura. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Ozzie. I want to circle back to what Ozzie kind of started talking about, the timing, but more in terms of what's going to happen with potential challengers in the Democratic primary. I mean, you keep on reading how Ruben Diaz is thinking about it, and Hakeem Jeffries and Scott Stringer, and the articles in the paper say they're waiting to see if anyone's indicted. So how does this work for other candidates? How much time do they actually need? You know, what's the jump-off point for these guys? And will that coincide with these multiple investigations?
You know, that is a great question. And Brian, it's no surprise that your callers are very well-informed. The city comptroller, the Bronx Borough president, even Congressman Hakeem Jeffries in Brooklyn, they have all said, either directly, indirectly, or their aides have sort of signaled to this, that these people are waiting to see what happens with these investigations. You know, you can argue that the latest timeline for somebody to jump in the race, for someone to say, hey, look, I'm in, I'm running, is around the times that, you know, petitions to appear on the ballot start circulating. And that's not going to happen for, I think, a few more months. You know, the race is in September. You have to circulate petitions to get on the ballot, you know, several weeks before that. So there is some time, but you're sort of getting close to the area where a person who is sitting in office has to say, I'm going to go forward or not. And Preet's meeting with de Blasio seems to be at that breaking point where his investigators are either going to get more confidence and continue going, or the mayor is going to walk out of that meeting and signal to the media, the public, the voters that, hey, look, I'm here to stay. You know, I'm not shaken. There's really nothing here. But we're in that timeline at that home stretch.
Well, this is where we're going to have to wrap it up. Folks, if you joined us expecting to hear our usual Friday 10 o'clock Ask the Mayor segment, that's apparently why there is no Ask the Mayor this week. And they told us that he had a scheduling conflict, multiple news outlets reporting that right now is when the mayor is being interviewed by the U.S. Attorney's Office in connection with the investigations into his fundraising. Stay tuned. And we thank Ozzie Pabura from Politico New York for explaining some of the details and the context. Ozzie, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Steve Bannon states his agenda for America very directly at the CPAC conference. We'll play that clip and talk about it. Stay with us.